Drove down from the Promised Land this afternoon. Oh, man. Had this song, Brother Tim, I've had this song stuck in my head all afternoon. Do, 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 do. Do you know the words? Oh, man, it's going to be painful tonight, all right? I'm making friends. I'm glad to be here. Good to see some familiar faces. Hello, hello. Hey, Brother Darrell. Miss Linda. Didn't get a chance. Where's Joel? Oh, man. Oklahoma. I'm talking to him. All right. Well, it's good to be here and good to see you all. And just want to be a blessing to you. Been praying about this missions conference, eager to see what the Lord's going to do over these next couple days. I like what your pastor said. God blesses a missions-minded church. Amen. God's blessed this church. He's really provided for it. And this building and this property and just to see what God's done over the years, it's true, exactly true what he said. God blesses a missions-minded church, and God has taken care of this church for that reason. And I'm just eager to see what God's going to do tonight, over the next couple nights. And I enjoy missions conferences. I enjoy meeting missionaries, enjoy seeing the mission field in other countries. And, you know, the time that I spent overseas, in Congo and in South Africa. And sometimes, man, I wish if I could, tomorrow I'd be on a plane and I'd be heading. I don't even care where. Just put me somewhere. I'd be happy to go to any mission field. Folks, there's such the world's such a big place, and there's so many countries that need to be reached. And I'm just bearing my heart here for a second. I just wish we could do more. Don't you? I just wish we could do more. I wish God would do something in American churches that would wake us up a little bit, stir us up a little bit, and we get so boxed in America. We have it so good. We really do. God's blessed us so richly, and I know we complain all the time. We complain about the price of gas. $10 a gallon. Apparently they're running the Build Back Better program there as well. And $4.49, I came down from Heartland this afternoon, $4.49 up there. I know we got problems everywhere, but we kind of live in a box in America, and we're so concerned about the problems here, but we forget, even with all our problems, we are still the most blessed, the freest nation in the world. And we really need to take advantage of those freedoms. And my heart is just, when I think about missions and about missions conferences, boy, that's a time where God really needs to open our eyes and stir us. And it's not even the passage, but so often John chapter 4 is preached in missions conferences where Jesus told those disciples, and the same thing we need to hear, lift up your eyes. Because we really are. We got our eyes down, don't we? And we really need to lift up our eyes and realize beyond the borders of this country, there's a world out there that needs to be reached with the gospel. And we can stay right here in Cambridge, Ohio, and Byesville, Ohio, and still be reaching the entire world. But it's only when we lift up our eyes. That's what this mission, that's one of the things this missions conference is all about. To get our eyes up and looking out on the fields. The fields are white. New Zealand, the Philippines, Bible publishing and Christian books. These are fields that we need to invest in and we need to give our attention to. That's what this missions conference is all about. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and just one verse to get started. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Look down at verse 9. The Bible says, "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things." And what I want to preach to you tonight is this simple thought: prove it. Prove it. Missions conference is many different things, but it is definitely a time for a church to examine itself, to check itself, where we are spiritually, where we are in our outreach, in the immediate area and around the world. It is a time for us to examine ourselves and examine our church and to see if we're proving some things, to see if our practice is really lining up with our preaching. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, it is good to be saved and good to be in church. And Father, how our hearts have been blessed through the fellowship and the singing and the testimony of the work that's going on in New Zealand. And Father, I just ask, as we open Your Word tonight, that You would give power and weight to the words that are spoken and the Scriptures that we read. Father, that You'd set me aside, and that You, Lord God, would speak to Your people, that You would challenge us and stir us and move us. Lord, that's what's done tonight and tomorrow and Sunday would bear fruit in the weeks and months ahead. For myself, Lord, I simply ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in Thy sight. I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul writes to the church at Corinth for a second time. And you know the church at Corinth, right? It's a church that was just absolutely riddled with problems. They had legal problems, they had moral problems, they had sin problems, they had division problems. And Paul writes that first letter, and it's 16 chapters, and it's just chapter after chapter after chapter where Paul is just addressing one problem after another that he's seeing and hearing about in the church at Corinth. And an entire series have been preached on all the problems at the local church there in Corinth. But one problem that I've noticed that is kind of intertwined in all the different issues that that church had is that their talk was always bigger than their walk. Their preaching was bold, but their practice was something different. I mean, you go through and all the different problems that Paul addresses, they talked about having spiritual gifts, but Paul pointed out clearly that they were carnal. They talked about which spiritual leader they aligned themselves with, but all the time they were divisive. They talked about having all knowledge, but they were ignorant of the most basic spiritual truths. And so Paul, when he writes this second letter, he says, you've talked a lot and you've claimed some things. He says, but I want to see the proof. I want to see the proof. Christian, can I tell you tonight, we can talk really good, can't we? We are good at talking about how we love the Lord. I have seen people get in the pulpit and claim to weep over souls only to never hand out a gospel tract and never knock on a door. We're really good at emotional overtures and dynamic speaking, and we can preach it good in here, but does our practice beyond the four walls of this building match the preaching that's going on here? That's what Missions Conference is all about. It's about you and I getting together and a church getting together and say, okay, we've got a year ahead of us and we want to do something for God, but how did we do last year and what are we going to do in the next year? We've talked a big talk. We've preached the right, and a church ought to have the right message, right? But I mean, it doesn't just end there. The identity of a church is, are they preaching the right message? The identity of a church is measured by its message, but it's also measured by its works. Is it not? Do you believe that? Do you believe that the identity of a church is based upon its message and also its works? If you don't, go over to Revelation for just a moment. Now keep your place there in 2 Corinthians. I want you to go over to Revelation for just a moment. And honestly, folks, this is I'm just bearing my heart here tonight. I really believe, and this is for me personally and for what I see in churches today, we talk a big talk. We really do. I hear preachers and I hear Christians talking about weeping over souls and loving the Lord, and some of it is done with the right intention, some of it's done with a good motive, but man, we're really failing in this area. And I'm just speaking generally. I don't know what's going on here at Bible Baptist, but I'm speaking in general terms. We as Baptists, as Bible believers, we talk a big talk, but we are really limiting ourselves in what we match up outside the four walls of the church. And we have got to put our feet where our mouth goes. I mean, we've got to start practicing what we preach, because the identity of a church is not just measured by the message that is preached across the pulpit, but it is also measured by the work and the outreach that it's doing. And again, if you don't believe that, look at what Jesus Christ, the head of the church, says when he addresses the seven churches in Revelation. Now, we're not going to read all of it, but I want you to notice something that he says to every one of those seven churches. The first one's the church at Ephesus. Look at Revelation 2, verse 2. Are you there? Say amen if you're there. What's the beginning of verse 2 say? I know thy works. You know what he said to the church at Ephesus? He says, I know your character. I know that you're holding fast to certain things, but I know your works. I know. God said, I know your works. Guess what he said to the second church? He writes to the church at Smyrna. Look down at verse 9. What's the beginning of verse 9 say? Come on now, look at it. I know thy works. He looked at that little church there in Ephesus. He said, I know your works. I know what you're doing and what you're not doing. And then he looks at the church this morning. He says, I know what you're doing. I know what you're not doing. I know your works. Here's the third church, Pergamos, verse 13. Come on now, look at it. Verse 13. I know thy works. Now you see where this is going. Skip down to verse 19. Here's the church at Thyatira. Verse 19. I know thy works. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. You noticing a pattern? And then look down at verse 8. Here's the church of Philadelphia. Verse 8. I know thy works. And then the last one, the church at Laodicea. Verse 15. Look at it. Verse 15. I know thy works. So Jesus Christ, the head of the church, as he examines each one of these seven churches, says a lot of things about them. Some good things, some bad things. But you know what he says to every one of those churches as he addresses them? He says, I know your works. Folks, you better get a hold of this truth tonight. God looks down at Bible Baptist Church and he hears what is preached from the pulpit. And he hears the prayers that are made in this building. And he sees the burdens that you bear. And he sees the trials that you're going through. He sees you individually and how you're growing in the Lord. God knows this church from the youngest person to the oldest person, from the smallest family to the largest family. God knows this church family inside and out. But you know what he knows about this church? He knows your works. He knows your works. And so we can talk a big talk in the pulpit. We can preach and charge people from the Sunday school class and in junior church and in conversation. We can talk about how bad it is in America. We can talk about how our freedoms are slipping. We can talk about all these things. We can complain. We can bellyache. But don't forget, you live in the greatest nation in the world, the freest nation in the world, the least racist nation in the world. You've got freedoms that other countries wish they had. I've been in countries where I can't even walk down the street. My son Stephen, we pulled out of... This was just last week. We pulled out of Meijer and I saw a suspicious car. I'm in Heartland, Michigan. And I saw a suspicious car and guys getting in the car. And as I'm pulling out, it's just built in me from living on the mission field. I'm watching that car and I'm watching in the rearview mirror to see if I'm being tailed home. And Stephen looks at me and says, Dad, you don't have to do that here. I said, sorry, that's just in me. Because it's been almost 6 years since I've been back in America. But it's built into me because you live on the mission field and you're on guard because you don't have the freedoms that we have in this country. And I can't tell you how many times driving home overseas that I had to circle around roads to make sure I wasn't being followed because there were headlights in my rearview mirror. And there were hijackings and there were murders. We had a lady in our church in Johannesburg that someone followed her home, T-boned her right in front of her house, and gunned her down in front of her grandkids. That's what happens in some countries. We have freedoms in this country. And God says, man, you got the freedom to go up and down this street and knock on doors. You have the freedom to stand on a main road and hold verse signs. You got the freedom to do VBS. You've got the freedom. Are you doing it? I'm talking about, are we all doing it? And God's prospered this nation so much so that a church can support 50 missionaries. You know what God says when He looks at Bible Baptist Church? He says, I know. I know. I know your works. And I know your message that you're preaching, but do your works match up with your message? Prove it. That's what Missions Conference is all about. This is an exciting time when a church family gathers together and with the leadership of their pastor assesses what they've done in the past year and what they'd like to do in the year to come. Not just in support of missions, but what are we going to do to reach Cambridge and to reach Bysville and to reach these surrounding areas? How is God going to use Bible Baptist Church to get the gospel outside of the four walls of this church and take the message that we preach and the faith that we believe and prove it. Let's prove it. Let's check ourselves this weekend as we preach God's Word and we listen to the presentation of these missionaries and not just make the claims that we love the Lord. Not just make the claims that we want souls to be saved. Not just make the claims that we love missionaries. Not just make the claims that the gospel is our number one priority. All of which is true. But let's prove it. Let's prove it. Brother Tim, you know how it is. I mean, even on the mission field, we can get into a place where we're just in a routine. We're just in a routine. And we have to check ourselves sometimes on the mission field and say, man, am I in a rut even on this mission field? And we got to wake ourselves up and get out there. I remember a time when we were trying to plant a church in Tembisa, South Africa. And man, we'd been there months and months and months and just not seeing anything happen. And I just got along with God and I said, God, something's got to change. I've got to wake up. I've got to put my feet out on the streets and start preaching the gospel. And I just got along with God and began to pray and to fast. There was a certain area just on the edge of the city where there were just a big area where houses were just lined up. Just small one-room houses. But that's where big neighborhood was, all dirt streets just outside the city. And I began to pray and fast over that area. And after a while of praying and fasting, I took my son Stephen, just little at that time, but the two of us went out on those dusty dirt roads and just began knocking doors. And can I tell you, the very first house that I knocked on, a lady by the name of Margaret Motibi answered the door. And I had no idea who she was at that point, but the very first door that I knocked on, she ended up coming to church. She ended up getting saved. She had a husband who was a drunk. She had a mother who was a Lutheran and a witch doctor. I won't get on that right now. You can be both over there. But man, her family was steeped in African tradition. And she got saved and just got on fire for God and would come to me time after time, Pastor, pray for my husband. His name was Ibubezi, which means lion, so we just called him Lion. But man, he'd run every time I come to the house. He'd scoot out the back door, drinking and living in sin and didn't want anything to do with God. But he ended up getting saved. And two houses down from her, there were two other ladies that ended up coming to church. Because I got to a point where I said, God, I'm not satisfied with just being here. I'm not satisfied with just filling a quota or filling time or just existing. I need to get the gospel out and I need to get these feet out on the dusty streets and knock on some doors and talk to people. And whether it's on a mission field or whether it's here at home. Man, just last week, I was busy running around serving the Lord, trying to get ready for messages and everything else, and it was just like the Lord just pricked my heart. And I thought, I got to get out. And I got to knock some doors. I need to talk to somebody face to face and give them the gospel. Bible Baptist Church, it's not enough to just exist as a church. It's not enough to just be here. We've got to get outside of the four walls of this church. We've got to preach the gospel. We've got to knock on some doors. We've got to give out some door hangers. We've got to get excited about what God's given us to do. We've got to prove. We've got to prove it. And this missions conference is about proving. Do we really believe the gospel is the answer? Do we really believe that it's worth giving to missions? Well, it's time to prove it. It's time to prove it. Now, I just got two simple points here tonight. Two simple points. Number one, we need to have a proof of obedience. Look at the verse we read just a few moments ago. We need to have a proof of obedience. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. Notice, look at the wording here. Look at that verse. 2 Corinthians 2:9. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you. And you understand how the Bible is written? When he says the proof of you, he's talking to the whole church collectively. He says, I want to know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. So Paul writes to the church at Corinth and he says, to this end I'm writing. I wrote one letter, now I'm writing you again. And he said, I need to see a proof of your obedience. Now in the context here, and we won't spend much time on this, but the context is pretty simple. Paul had given instruction in the first letter on how to handle a church member living in sin. Now he writes a second time, and out of all 16 chapters that he wrote in the first letter, he singles one issue out. And he uses, listen, he uses that one issue as a measuring stick. He uses it as a measuring stick to see if they were obedient. And notice he says he wants this as a proof if they were obedient in all things. He says, I need to know how you handled this sin in the church. I need to know how you handled this issue because I'm going to use this as proof. I'm going to use this as a measuring stick to see if you're being obedient in all things. Folks, can I tell you this weekend, you know what God's trying to do? He's using a measuring stick. He's using a measuring stick. And you know what he's saying? That I might know the proof. Lord, we love you. I want to see the proof. Lord, we love missionaries. I want to see the proof. Lord, I'll serve you. I'll give my life for you. I love you. I want to see the proof. The proof of your obedience. And you say, ah, money, money, money. No, no, no. God says, prove your obedience. Prove it. We can talk about being obedient, but here's the proof. And so Paul uses this incident and this issue as a measuring stick to say, I want to see by this, are you obedient in all things? And God is using this weekend as a measuring stick to say, are you obedient in all things? Because I believe, and I'll go out on a limb here, but I believe if a church can raise this much money for missions, I would say that's pretty good proof that they're interested in souls. I'd say that's pretty good proof that they're interested in the gospel. I'd say that's pretty good proof that they love the Lord. Y'all with me here tonight? We having a good time? But that's what this is. Paul says that I might know the proof of you, whether you'll be obedient in all things. And so this is a great opportunity to reassess ourselves and to use this conference as a measuring stick. Now listen, I know my crowd. I know who I'm talking to here tonight. I'm not talking to people who are ignorant of what missions is all about. You know the passages on the Great Commission. You know the charge that the Lord Jesus Christ has given to this church and to every church to take the truth, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the truth of salvation in Christ alone. That's the charge that we're to take that out into this world. That we're to reach our immediate area, and that we're to support missionaries all around the world by giving and by praying and by getting engaged and getting involved. That's our charge. We know that. I think everybody knows that here tonight. We have been entrusted with the gospel. The priority is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hospitals are great, but that's not the priority. Digging wells are great, but that's not the priority. Orphanages are great, but that's not the... They can be a means to getting the gospel out, but they're not the priority. We want to support preachers and missionaries and families that as their number one priority is not charity, but it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Because the church has been entrusted with the primary message of salvation in Jesus Christ. So now it's time to check ourselves, right? Let's check ourselves. Does our practice match our preaching? Are we obedient in all things? Now come on, Christians, help me out here tonight. Look at yourself. Look around. This is your church. This is your church family. Does your missions program and missions giving line up? Is it a proof of obedience? Does the outreach, do the ministries, does your personal witnessing offer proof of obedience? It's a good time to check ourselves. Let me move on to the second and last point. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Not only do we need a proof of obedience, but we need a proof of love. A proof of love. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and look down at verse 7. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7. Notice what Paul writes here to these same people. Therefore, verse 7, therefore as ye abound in everything, in faith, notice, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Now let's get right to the point here. This is where we're going to spend tonight, tomorrow night, and Sunday morning as well, in chapters 8 and 9 of 2 Corinthians. We're going to spend the bulk of our time in this chapter. The theme of these two chapters is giving. Anybody afraid of talking about giving? I'm not afraid of talking about giving. You know why? Because I give. I'm an assistant pastor at a Baptist church, and I get paid from what the people give, but I give. I tithe out of what the Lord gives to me, and I give to missions out of what the Lord gives to me. Because I believe in giving, I believe that giving is automatically a part of the Christian life. It is a proof of my obedience, my loyalty, and my love to the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not afraid to talk about giving. That's what Paul talks about in these two chapters. So Paul, first of all, he commends them. Notice what he said in verse 7. He says, you're abounding in all these things. He says, you're abounding in faith, you're abounding in utterance, you're abounding in knowledge, you're abounding in diligence. He says, and you're abounding in love, notice, to us. Paul, Timothy, and those who have ministered to this church. And it seems they are abounding in every other area, but now Paul encourages them in a specific area. He says, you need to abound in this grace also. What grace? This grace. Giving is a grace of God. It is God giving you things that you don't deserve. That's grace. And then you're showing grace to other people. Because guess what? Even missionaries and preachers are just men and women. They don't deserve God's grace. We don't deserve God's grace. But God gives us a little grace and then we show a little grace. And so Paul says, you're abounding in everything. Bible Baptist Church, you're abounding in everything. Abound in this grace also. Don't limit God. Abound in this grace also. Because Paul says you're abounding in love toward us. You understanding this? Paul says you're abounding in love to us. Paul, Timothy, and those other preachers and apostles. But he carries on. Look at verse 8. He says, I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Notice, and to prove the sincerity of your love. He says, I know you love me. I know you love my working partner here, Timothy. I know you love us because we've been to your church and we helped plant your church and we've invested ourselves. He says, but now there are others who have a specific need. And that need can only be met by your giving. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying in this chapter. You following me? He says, these people have a need, and that need is only met by this grace, by your giving. He says, so you need to abound in this grace also. And he says, as you abound in this grace, you are going to be proving what? The sincerity of your love. You say, I love the Lord. Prove it this weekend. You say, I love lost souls. Prove that sincerity of your love. I love missionaries. Prove the sincerity. What is sincerity? It's something that's genuine. It's not fake. It's not put on. Boy, I've seen some fake stuff in the ministry. I've seen some fake stuff. I've seen guys get up and weep over souls, but I don't see a life that backs it up. I've seen Christians come into church and talk a big talk, but they don't live it Monday to Saturday. He says, I want to see a genuine love. Prove the sincerity of your love. Not a fake, not a feigned, not a hypocritical, not a put on. 1 John 3:18, the Bible says this. Listen, 1 John 3:18, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The sincerity. The sincerity. And I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether you're in Bicesville, Ohio, in Bible Baptist Church, or you're in New Zealand, or you're traveling around selling Christian books and Bibles, we've got, folks, there are times when we need to shake ourselves up. I mean, God's not going to do it for you. You have got to reassess yourself. You've got to get on your face before God and say, God, I know the gospel is a priority. I know people are dying and going to hell. I know they need to be reached. And I know it's my responsibility and it's the responsibility of this church. And you've got to examine yourself. Am I showing the proof of my obedience? And am I showing the proof of the sincerity of my love? You know what we need more than anything is some genuine Christians. Some genuine Christians with some genuine love. You know what happens when you take love and you put it into action? It becomes something new. When you take love, what is love? It is both an emotion and a decision. And you take that love and you put it into action, it actually transforms to something new. The Bible calls it charity. When you take a love for the Lord and a love for missionaries and a love for the church and a love for God's people and a passion and a desire and you actually put it into action, the Bible calls it charity. In fact, there's an entire chapter on it. 1 Corinthians 13. Will you go with me there for just a second? I'm almost done. Be patient with me. I'm almost done. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And notice, I mean, we'll just skim right through here. Verse 4. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Because the entire chapter is about charity, and charity is an active love. It is love put into action. There's a difference between love and charity. And we see that in this chapter. Look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Notice all the action words. Charity suffereth, is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You know what all those words are? They're action words. Are you with me tonight? Come on, look at me. Let me know you're awake. All those words we just read are action words. Bearing, believing, enduring, suffering, envying, not envying. Look, they're all action words. So when we're inside the four walls of Bible Baptist Church, we major on the love of God, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love that God's people are to have for each other, and the love that we're to have for a lost world. But as soon as we walk out of those doors, we are then put to the test. Listen, here's the proof. The proof is not when we're sitting here in church. We call this service. The morning service, the evening service, the Friday service, but it's really not service. We're actually getting geared up and prepared for service. The service actually begins when we walk out the door. That's the mission field. And so we come here for service, but we're actually getting ready for service. And when we walk out the doors of the front of this building, that's when we take this love and it's then put to the proof, to the test. When the offering plate is passed around and the pastor says, we need to support missionaries, we need to get the gospel out, all of a sudden the love in our heart is put to the proof. Whether we reach for our wallets and we reach into our purses and we reach and give towards missions to spread the gospel and to support those missionaries, we can talk about love, but it will always remain love until we put it into action. And when we put it into action, it then becomes charity. And charity is the proof of love. It's the proof of love. For God so loved the world that He what? That He gave. That's charity. God so loved. There's love. But His love caused an action. He loved it so much that He gave. When you love enough to give something, you know what that is? That's being like Christ. You know what you call someone who's like Christ? A Christian. Are you a Christian? I'm not asking if you're saved. I'm asking if you're a Christian. Because a Christian takes it a step further. You're saved. You've known the love of God in Christ Jesus. You've experienced the love of God and the love of Calvary. But are you Christ-like? Are you a Christian? You say, I'm a Christian. All right, prove it. Prove it. You don't have to prove it to me. I'll be gone in a couple days. All right? But prove it to the Lord. Prove it to each other. Prove it to your pastor as he leads and has a burden to give more towards missions. Boy, you ought to be thankful you're a member of Bible Baptist Church, because there's not a lot of churches left who have a heart for missions giving and a heart for missionaries. And I've been to a lot of churches to see 50 missionaries surrounded, their prayer letters on these walls and flags up. That's a burden that not a lot of churches have. You ought to be thankful you're a part of that, and you ought to get involved in it. Why? To prove where your love is. To prove where your love is. Well, let's see here. Let's wrap this up. Oh, where am I at here? Go back to 2 Corinthians and we'll close. 2 Corinthians and, yeah, chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 24. 2 Corinthians 8, last verse, verse 24. Notice what he writes here. Wherefore, 2 Corinthians 8:24, are you there? Verse 24, wherefore show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. You see what Paul wrote there? Show it. He said, show it to them. Them who? Those who will be receiving the giving. Show it to them. Show the proof of your love. And he says, and before the churches. You know what that is? That is a public testimony. Show it to the world. He said, I don't have to prove anything. Well, according to this verse, God says you do. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to. Yes, you are accountable. The whole point of you being part of a local church is so that you can be accountable. That you have a place to serve and people to serve with and to be accountable to one another. You're part of a local church because you need to be involved in something. And here's a church and a pastor who's saying, here's something that's worth getting involved in. And it is a way that you can prove your obedience and prove your love and show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love. So it's not a time for boasting. It's not a time for making claims. It's not, missions conference is not a time for big talk. It's a time to see, is our practice lining up with our preaching? Is our walk and our service matching up with our talk? Let's stand as we close this evening.